Reading comes from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. It's on page 625 in the Bibles underneath the pew chairs. And if you don't have a Bible, we encourage you to just take that Bible home with you and read it, listen to it, put it into practice. It'll be a great blessing to your life if you do. And on this Mother's Day, listen to the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Amen.
Well, let's start off with a little Mother's Day fun, shall we? You know you're a mom when you count the sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure they're equal. You know you're a mom when you've mastered the art of placing large quantities of pancakes, bacon, and eggs on a plate without anything touching. You know you're a mom when your kid throws up and you catch it. You know you're a mom when someone else's kid throws up at a party and you keep on eating. You know you're a mom when you cling to the high ground on toy weapons, then your son chews his toast into the shape of a gun. And history records some famous moms' words to their children. Paul Revere's mother said this, and I quote, "I don't care where you think you have to go, young man. You'll be home before midnight." And Columbus's mother said, "I don't care what you've discovered, Chris, you still could have written." And then Michelangelo's mother, "Mike, can't you paint on walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling?" Moms have been giving good advice for a long time. No doubt you've received some yourself. Where would we be without moms? Aside from not existing, that is. But this morning, we're going to take a few minutes and look at three verses from the first chapter of Proverbs. And here, we'll be reminded of really what we already know, that mother knows best. Father knows best, too, but today we're focusing on moms. Throughout history, people have sought wisdom, not just education and information and knowledge, but wisdom. Wisdom is more than any of these. Wisdom is skill for living the best possible way. People in every age have worked at a strategy for handling or managing life as they live it. Managing the demands of daily life have led to reflection of the nature of this world with the hope for finding some sense of order in it. Some have been more successful than others. Some have drawn conclusions that are short-sighted, that lack perspective, and offer merely short-term solutions. Others have a broader and a deeper perspective. It's the broader and deeper perspective that we get from the book of Proverbs, compiled by Solomon. Not only was Solomon an astute observer of the world around him, not only did he draw principles from what he observed in the world, but Solomon had one huge advantage over other seekers of wisdom. He had God's insight. The Proverbs are not just clever maxims to live by. The Proverbs are inspired principles, as God would have us understand life and how life works. The book of Proverbs sets out for its readers, under God's inspiration, three pursuits that all come under the banner or the rubric of wisdom. They are knowledge, character, and faith. The second verse of the book tells us that wisdom can be attained. In other words, wisdom is something that can be learned. Now, the bad news is that none of us are born with wisdom. The good news is that wisdom can be acquired if you really want it. You acquire it by seeking it diligently. And of course, you must be seeking in the right place. And the right place is, of course, the Word of God, the Bible. Proverbs also sets out to teach us about character. Now, we must understand that wisdom is about more than knowledge, even correct knowledge, even accurate knowledge. Wisdom involves also the development of character. And that's why it's silly to talk about values-free education. All education teaches values, either directly or indirectly. A school does not stop teaching values when it doesn't allow prayer, or it doesn't allow the Ten Commandments to be posted, or it seeks to keep religion out of the curriculum. Failing a student because they've cheated on a test is teaching values, the value that dishonesty is wrong. Suspending a student for fighting teaches values, the value that violence used to settle an issue is wrong. Promoting students who complete the work, giving scholarships to students who earn them, recognition and honor of students who excel is teaching values, the value that excellence is rewarded and honored. And the Proverbs set out to teach us about faith. It teaches us that ultimately all wisdom must be grounded in our relationship with God. We don't acquire wisdom just so we can succeed in a career or make lots of money or be one up on the competition. Wisdom is to be acquired so that we can relate properly to our Creator and so we can function in life in the way that God intended that we would function. That's why verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Reverential fear is the precursor or the prerequisite of knowledge and wisdom. It captures the aspect of both shrinking back in fear and yet at the same time drawing close in awe. Not a trembling fear that paralyzes action like a deer caught in the headlights, but neither is it simply polite reverence or respect. Reverential submission to God's will is what it's talking about. And all true worshipers of God have reverential awe. They have this fear of the Lord. That's what it means. Now, the Proverbs often contrast this to fools who disdain wisdom and discipline. The Proverbs define a fool as one, for example, who lacks understanding. They just don't get it. After many attempts, they just don't get it. Who doesn't store up knowledge. They don't learn from their experience. So they are destined to have to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. Who fails to attain wisdom. Even though they've grown old, they haven't grown up. Who have a loose tongue. And though they don't have anything to say of value, they say it anyway. Who is prideful, though have no reason to be. Who is contentious. They find themselves in arguments frequently because they think they know it all, when actually they know very little. Who refuses correction and wise counsel. They disdain the very thing that could heal them of their affliction. Now, the first evidence that you're dealing with a child who fears the Lord is how they relate to their parents. Look at verse 8. "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." The word "listen" here does not just mean that you're allowing your eardrum to vibrate. The word "listen" here means to listen with the view to taking heed. Now, sometimes a parent will say to a child, "But you didn't listen to me." Now, when they say that, they mean one of two things. They may mean that the child was distracted or preoccupied when the parent was speaking. They were thinking about something else rather than listening. Or it may mean, "But you didn't do what I said." In other words, you heard me, but not with a view to heeding what I said. A child in pursuit of wisdom will heed the instruction of his father and not forsake the teaching of his mother. Now, the word "teaching" here in the Hebrew language is the word Torah. You're probably familiar with it. It is usually translated law. But when used specifically of an individual, it's translated teaching. The implication being that the mother will be teaching her children the law of God, not just in the sense of teaching biblical truth and principles, but what is being taught is a reflection of what God has revealed by way of wisdom. Their teaching is not just practical things, as important as those practical things are, like how to tie your shoes, how to make up your bed, how to eat spaghetti properly, how to ride a bicycle, but it also includes moral teaching, moral instruction. That is, what is right and what is wrong according to God's word. Now, the word may be related to the word meaning to point or direct. The idea that wise teaching may be illustrated as pointing in the right direction. As we might say, can you show me the right way? Or, you know the right way, can you take me there? Or as the psalmist says in Psalm 143, show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Or as Psalm 119 says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. It's likely that there are two aspects of obedience in view here. It says, listen to your father's instruction. Probably the idea is being obedient in the present, not only in present time, but in the presence of the parent that's giving instruction, actively engaging in obedience as instructions are given. This view toward heeding. But do not forsake your mother's teaching may have more to do with the future, remembering what has been taught when mom or dad aren't present. After all, most kids eventually realize that obedience is not just something you do when mom and dad are watching, because they won't be watching forever. The day will come when they no longer are supervising or monitoring you. So the idea is to learn the principle when they are teaching it and when they're around, then apply it when they are not. Some kids grow up thinking, I can't wait until I'm old enough to leave home. Then I can do whatever I want. Oh yes, won't that be a marvelous day when we can do whatever we want? I'm 53 years old and I still haven't gotten there yet. My friend, you will never reach the point when you can do whatever you want. Because you see, you will still have to live with the consequences of doing it. Even kids who are sheltered from the consequence of their disobedience in the short term will still have to deal with it in the long term. Remember, God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And it may not be today or tomorrow or next year, but eventually we pay the piper. Now, is there some sort of reward for this obedience? Some return for listening to your father's instruction and not forsaking your mother's teaching? There is. It's in verse 9. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Wow! Isn't that special? For obeying parents and pursuing wisdom, we get to wear a flowered hat and a necklace. What a deal. I can hardly wait. Well, of course, this is figurative. It's saying that wisdom will make you a person of grace. Grace refers to qualities that make a person agreeable, that make a person attractive to others, pleasing to others. It makes someone a person that others want to be around, that want to spend time with, that want to associate with. Obedience makes the obedient one's life better. People rough around the edges tend to repel. People who are smooth around the edges tend to attract. Obedience of children leads to honor. Disobedience leads to dishonor. Henry Ford once said that he would pay more for people who can get along with others than for any other skill that they might offer. Being a person of grace will benefit you in untold ways, and it begins with learning from your parents and anyone who has wisdom. So, someone might be wondering, what if I have parents that aren't all that wise? What if I have parents that don't have it all together? What if my parents don't know everything about everything? Well, in that case, congratulations. Your parents are normal. They're perfectly normal. Now, keep in mind, if you would, that this proverb was written by Solomon. You know who Solomon is? His mother was Bathsheba. Does that ring a bell? Bathsheba was the woman that Solomon's father, David, committed adultery with. Now, I'm not suggesting that made her extra qualified as a mom. What I am saying is that perfection is not required for being a parent. What is required is commitment to acquiring wisdom yourself and then dispensing wisdom to your children. You don't need to be perfect to do this. You do need to be committed to doing it. So moms, take heart. You can impart wisdom to your children. And children, take heart. You can learn wisdom from your mom. Now, considering these verses were written some 3,000 years ago, and that there are many people in the world today who possess wisdom, it must be working. And rest assured, wisdom is not coming from Ann Landers, Dear Abby, Dr. Phil, Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura, or Oprah. And hopefully I covered them all. There's an excellent chance that wisdom is being passed on by godly parents. Parents who are acquiring wisdom that God has for them, and then passing it on to the next generation. What an honor it is to be part of that tradition. And we thank God for our moms who passed wisdom on to us. And we thank God for you moms who are passing wisdom on to our children. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, again today, we honor our moms. We honor those who are committed to wisdom, getting it for themselves from your word, and passing it on to their children. And as we thank you for those moms, we thank you for your word, which is worthy of our study. And it can impart the very thing that is most valuable in life. And that is what you have said about how life should be lived. May we be faithful in the calling that you have placed on our lives. And especially today, we pray that you would strengthen every woman who has accepted with courage and with commitment and resolution this high esteem and role that we call motherhood. Bless them, we pray, as they commit themselves to all that's required of them in this role. And may they recognize the incredible source that they have in your word for imparting this wisdom to their own children. Thank you for them. We commit them into your care and for your blessing. In Jesus' name.